Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. Absolutely. You're listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, I want to refute the statement that they are not clear teaching on the responsibility of society to pass policies as a minister. As a teacher, as a pastor, as a preacher, it is imperative that we lean on the Bible and teach, preach, and minister to all what it's really saying about the poor economic system and what believers are required to do to obey God. As people committed to justice and love, we should be committed to the poor. Proverbs 28:6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in ways. 1 John 3:17. Rich people who see a brother or a sister in need yet close their heart against them cannot claim that they love God or even love Jesus. We must stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us in the struggle for equality and freedom. To learn and affirm that ending poverty and systematic racism is possible. It is possible. We Christians must eliminate in all hate. Indeed, the Bible does not offer an individual response or solution or to society problems, but instead offers social responsibilities and solutions. The book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, written for the leaders in society, discusses the policy and the program they are commanded to put in place to follow the will of God on caring for strangers and caring for the stronger, on releasing captivity, on providing for the poor. In fact, the whole of the Bible, starting with Genesis and ending in Revelation, has the art of justice, anti-poverty program run all through the Bible. This art started dishing with the Exodus and Mamma, which is most likely a response to Joseph and the Pharaoh, setting up a system where a few religious and political leaders amass great wealth at the expense of the people. As God's plan is for society to be organized around meeting the needs of the poor people, it runs through Deuteronomy and the legal codes, which describes how society and our political and religious leaders are supposed to release slaves, forgive debts, pay people what they deserve, and contribute to the need, to the fund, to the needy. It is then continued through the prophet, who insists that the way to love and honor God is to promote programs that uplift the poor and marginalized, and who decried those who religious and political power who cloak oppression in religion terms and here in theology. Finally, through the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ will follow a Savior, Jesus Christ. We follow a Savior who travels across the land preaching and teaching liberation, setting up free health clinics, compelling society to live out the Jubilee Code and Sabbath prescription. Even the Apostle Paul, in four letters, set up the collection for the poor of Jerusalem and insisted that the role of society is not to impoverish the poor with taxes, tax breaks, but that's the community prosperity rests upon a radical redistribution of wealth from the top to the bottom. Indeed, there is nothing more theoretically significant in the epistle than the exhortation to care for the poor, to resist taxes that uplift the poor. To resist taxes, our job is to uplift the poor. The Bible teaches us that releasing slaves, forgiving debts, paying couples a living wages, and offering funds to those who need it, knowing that they will never pay these debts back, is how we create a prosperous society. Therefore, in time, when you have 400 billionaires getting paid $97,000 per hour and do not want to pay the workers $15 an hour, and we have millions and millions of Americans who are being cut off health care, it is important to decry the hypocrisy of our religion and political authorities and to remind ourselves that God requires justice and denounce those who oppress the poor. We can turn to Matthew 23 for the further instructions on this. Jesus exhorted that those were so-called moral leaders in his day who, instead of standing for justice and inclusion, acted as an opponent of Jesus, an opponent of the early Christianity. Jesus accused the political and religious authority of his day, who in fact practiced the same religious as he did, for tying up heavy burden for others to carry, for worshiping power and wealth, crossing land and sea to convert one person while annoying the demands of justice and mercy and faithfulness at home. Jesus condemned the hypocritical religious leaders of his day for holding gold and religious temples sacred rather than gold who had made the gold. And these religious sites sacred and valuable in the first place, who made these religious sites sacred in the first place. The critique resonates with a comment from a mom organizing against the effect of the BT oil spill in the golf course. You can't eat gold. You can't eat oil. Why then do we worship it? Try to get so much of it. It resonates with the ongoing water crisis in Flint, Michigan as well. The families of Flint are struggling with the poison of their water and the whole body and their children's bodies, their whole community. They were poisoned for years while the General Motors plant gets squished back to the Flint water after just a few months, complaining that the Flint water was corroding their engine parts. Poor moms there are saying, what good is it if you can go to the store and get lead-free paint, and go to the gas station and get lead-free gas, and buy lead-free gas anywhere, but you cannot go home and get lead-free water? We must stop worshiping goods and profit and start worshiping Jesus. We need to change the way we do business. We can no longer sit back and allow things to be as they are today. We're in a very, very difficult situation. We need to learn what we need to do. You know, and here's something that Martin Luther King said in his last sermon on the evening before he was shot down outside the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. offered a conclusion that served well as starting point for the 2018. After declaring that America was sick in 1968, facing troubled time, King made this resolution. Now let me say, as I move to my conclusion, that we got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. Nothing would be more tragic than to stop at this point in Memphis, Tennessee. We got to see it through. And when we have our march, we need to be there. If it means leaving work, if it means leaving school, be there. Be concerned about your brother. You may not be on strike, but either we go up together or we go down together. King did not live to see another 24 hours of that pivotal year in American history. But 50 years later, we face a similar collective crisis as we begin 2018. Extremists who hijacked the Republican Party worked in concert with the destruction of the federal government, but a resistance made itself public in 2017, making clear that we are still the majority in this nation. Congress and many of our state legislators refuse to represent the will of the people in the face of this basic subversion of democracy. We do not do well. We do well to remember that either we go up together or we do go down together. King assessment is more critical than ever before. Wow. Nothing would be more tragic than to turn back now. 50 years after Dr. Martin Luther King and many others launched a poor people campaign to demand a Marshall Plan for American poor, inequality in our nation has reached a stream we have not seen since the Gilded Age, as the dog clowns and the wealthier just get richer. Americans get a massive tax break. 15 million more Americans are poor today than they was in 1968. In the same period, the rate of extreme poverty has nearly doubled because of the systematic racism of the poor suppression, which had been implemented in 23 of the nation's poorest states in 2010. Our political system is being held captive by a stream who denies workers health care and living wages under the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. Attack poor white people to blame people of color and immigrants for their problem. All the while, more and more of our collected resources are dedicated to a war without an end. Amazing. When you sit down and think about this, 57 cents of every single dollar goes to the military, while you have so many poor people in this world. And this is a moral crisis that produces nothing. Daily news about drama in the West Wing. We must not lose sight of the long-term effort to undermine the federal courts, which continue beneath the radar. Any political movement, as unpopular as the current administration, cannot endure very long, but it is already having an impact on the courts that will last for decades and decades and decades. Remember, federal judicial appointments are for life. It's not a short-term issue. It is for life, which is so amazing. We can see the consequences of these appointments by taking a closer look at one particular nominee who was not confirmed in 2017 but had already been renominated this year. Thomas Farr, who worked for a decade as a lawyer for Jesse Ham Machine, in my home state of North Carolina. Many recently spent 4 years defending the monster voter suppression law that was signed by then Governor of North Carolina Pat McCrory in 2013. The North Carolina was sued in federal court as soon as the bill was passed, only hours after the Chevy decision gutted clearance requirements of the Voter Rights Act. We know that the bill was not only intended to suppress votes, but would also be racially discriminatory in its impact, making it more difficult for poor and black voters in North Carolina to assert their will at the ballot box. McCrory team knew whom to go to in order to defend the tactic of Jim Crow laws. They hired Thomas Farr as the lead attorney to defend their subversion of democracy. After receiving $6 million taxpayer money for his service, Farr ultimately lost at the Supreme Court, where even Justice Clarence Thomas voted to affirm the Fourth Circuit Court assessment that the law firm Farr was defending targeting African Americans with almost surgical precision, lacking a higher court to appeal to. Amazing. Extremists who fear a loss of power with demographic changes are attempting to subvert the balance of power by attacking the courts, with people like Thomas Farr having lost a fair fight. They are willing to cheat. So it is imperative that all who believe in the check and balance of the impartial court refuse to back down on this issue of judicial nomination. We must not fail to defend the battle we have already won. Nothing would be more tragic than to turn back now. We cannot turn back now. This thing is going to get worse before it gets better. People with deep moral convictions about justice, love, and truth must in this moment become even more in the public square. So-called white evangelicals and their Christian nationalism have become the apologetic and enabler of political extremists. Their voices are so loud when joining the cause of those who hate gay people, women, black and brown, immigrants, but so quiet on the issue of poverty and systematic racism, devastating, and the war economy. This is a form of modern heresy taught all over the country. In this moment, when moral dissent is needed to once again challenge the immoral hijacking of moral tradition, nothing would be more tragic than to turn back now. For motivation, we can turn our attention to the political consequences of voter suppression and racial in the South. Anyone who watched the Senate race in Alabama closely observed that Doug Jones, the Democratic candidate who won the seat by 1.6 points, lost 5 of the 6 congressional districts. In a nutshell, that's the consequences of gerrymandering. While majority of people in the South states like Alabama now prefer someone like Jones to someone like Roy Moore. 5 in the 6 of the congressional district representatives still pursue the policy agenda of extremists like Roy Moore. Case in point, this is so important when you sit down and think about it, they rallied behind Roy Moore. They did it for one reason and one reason only. But it's unfortunate that the people don't understand. Let me give you a case in point. The tax reform bill that Republicans celebrated at the end of 2017 will hurt southern states like Alabama. That's right. The new tax reform bill that the Republicans are celebrating at the end of 2017 will hurt the southern states like Alabama the worst, because Alabama one has some of the highest poverty rates in the country. That's right. And depend a large amount on federal money to provide basic service to its poor people. The majority of them are white. Congress made a decision to invest $1.5 trillion in corporation and wealthy elites rather than anti-poverty program, with nearly full support of Alabama delegation to Congress. Representatives who were elected through racist voter suppression and redistricting used their ill-gotten power to hurt the poor people who often voted for them. That's right. They actually voted for them because they was misled by race baiting. What more, they continue to do it in the name of God, who said, "I am hungry and feed me not. I was hungry and fed me not. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink." It's an old story in the South, but nothing would be more tragic than to turn back now, because we saw clearly in a statewide race for Virginia to Alabama in 2017 that the majority of people see through the old con and want to be represented by more progressive candidates. This is why we must organize around the country. Be especially in the know, because we have a lot to do. Nothing will be more tragic than to turn back right now. We got to change the way we do business. And I want to refute my minister who said that the Bible do not give a clear teaching on the responsibility of society to pass policies that end poverty. As a minister, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a teacher, it is imperative that we lean on the Bible. And that is one thing we must do. We got to change. The people got to change. We got to change the way we act. We got to change the way we talk. We got to change the way we do things, because it's going to get worse before it get better, because we're living in this time right now. You have people from all over. You have the haves and the have-nots. You have so many homeless people here in this country. Even in the city of Benton Harbor, where 60% of the people that live here is unemployed, You can't say that they're lazy and don't want to work. They don't want to get a job. And they said that employment now is better than ever. They have a history of playing with the numbers. Defeat themselves. That's what they do. It's unfortunate. You might be able to get a job at McDonald's, Burger King, places like that. But you cannot get job, real job. Guys, you got over 400 families in this country making $97,000 an hour. And they don't want to pay you $15. But we accept it. We accept it. What is going to happen next? What do we have to do to make these people understand? To just do the right thing. That's all we're asking. We're asking you, just do the right thing. Pay these people enough money so they survive. And stop raising the rent. Like even in California, for a senior citizen, a disabled person, you cannot live off Medicaid, Medicare. These are things you can't live off of. And until things change, it's going to continue just this way. I'm excited today. I had the opportunity to be in Detroit on yesterday and to speak to the Gray Panthers, which is a senior citizen group of older guys. And it was just a tremendous opportunity. And I told them that these are mostly middle class guys, and they understood what's going on. Now what they want to do, they want to find a way to help. They want to find a way to help the people. And it's unfortunate that we have so many people who don't want to help the people. It's a shame. It's disgraceful. But it is what it is. We have to change the way we're doing business. We got to make sure. If you're hungry, I'm hungry. If I got a dollar, we should be able to help each other. We have to change the way we're doing things. And it's something we all can do. I'm excited today. I'm feeling good about everything. And I tell you, we live in a county called Berrien County, Michigan. It's a place where you would not believe exists. It's almost like living in the 60s here. Everything is controlled. We got judges here who wear robes in the daytime and sheets at night. And they brag about it. Judge Dennis Wiley. Judge Sterling Sharrock. Judge Art Carter. Judge Scott Schofield. Judge Charles Losada. They brag about it. And I can't forget the prosecutor, Mike Sepik. Him and Dennis Wiley are in-laws. They attend meetings together. And they want you to know who they are. Because there's nothing you can really do. They got all the power. They got the protection of law enforcement. And basically, they do whatever they want to do. They go around putting innocent people in jail. And they believe it's okay. And the people are so intimidated because their thing is that I don't want them to come after me. But your turn is coming. It's me today and you tomorrow. This is how they operate. You see, we have to sit back and analyze our position. We have to know exactly what is going on in our community. And here's the bad part. Corporation. A $20 billion company that has $20 billion of profit. gets a welfare check of $120 million every year. Every year. And the reason they get it is because Fred Upton, the heir to Whirlpool, is the U.S. United States representative. They pass bills and laws to help each other. And most people think it's all right. We try to blame it on the Republican. We try to blame it on the Democrat. It's both of them. It ain't just one. It's both. They're the same people fighting against the people. And the people are not knowledgeable enough to know that these people are out to get you. They're out to target you. And if they can, they'll eliminate you. The people are expendable. They don't care nothing about you today. Stop thinking, because you're a Democrat, that these people love you. They don't love you. Stop thinking, because you're a Republican, that these people love you. These people do not love you. All you do is go out, put them in office, and they do their thing. Let me say this. The Republicans, the Democrats, and your president is afraid of the National Rifle Association. Scared to death of them. Scared to death of the National Association. Why? Do you need their money in order to be elected? You need the people. You don't need them. They don't elect you. But when are we going to learn? You work for the people. You don't work for the corporations. And the reason I brought up Whirlpool, they walk around here like they have, well, give me $120 million every year. Give me $120 every year. And here's the thing, they got $64 million back on their income tax. I say amazing grace. And it's, I don't really blame them if they can get it. If you're not going to say nothing about it, the newspaper's not going to publish it. Because the newspaper is part of them. The newspaper do what they tell them to do. The newspaper is a corporation. And all the corporations stick together against the people. Because they believe you need them. They believe that you can't survive without them. This is their way of thinking. And then even the Klan was financed by the corporations, the Rockefellers, even the Rothschilds were paying money. Hitler, Adolf Hitler, the one that everybody was such a terrible person to everybody, even he was financed by the Rockefellers, and people from here in the United States, they finance Adolf Hitler. They don't really want you to know that. They don't want you to know the truth. That's why you got to read. You got to learn to read for yourself and understand exactly what you're reading, because this country itself is a fraud. They have killed more people, been involved in more wars, engineered more wars than anybody else. What they did to Libya, what they did to Iraq, wow, just amazing. Went into Libya and destroyed that country. Iraq destroyed that country. Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. They know that, man. He gave them all up. If you had weapons of mass destruction, you wouldn't have went in there. That's the only thing saving North Korea, because they don't know what he might do. So you got to keep your weapons, especially against this country. This country was built on killing and murdering people. How they slaughtered the Native Americans, just slaughtered them. What they did to black folks and stuff like that. And we said nothing. The people said nothing. Even now, we actually got black people
who actually can be paid off to do the dirty work of these people. Can you believe that? They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. They don't believe that God, that they would have to answer to God one day. They don't believe it. They don't believe that there is a God. Because if they believed in God, they wouldn't act the way they do. You know. That's the only thing. God is the only person that have kept me alive with these folks. Because I tell you, we're dealing with people who have no morals. None. And it's going to get worse before it get better. You got a guy that, you know, now think about this for a second. Why would you have a corporation like Whirlpool? Oh, if you in debt, let's say you in debt up to $5 million. They can give you $5 million and write it off. They can pay their taxes here in the city of Benton Harbor and write it off. Their idea, why would we want to pay taxes to Benton Harbor and help build them up and stabilize them when we can get away with not paying them a dime? We can get away with destroying their school system. We can pay a few of the board members a couple of dollars and the superintendent to keep from educating the children. Nobody's going to say something. Nobody's going to say anything about it. But most people here struggling just to survive. And if they got a car, they living with their mama and got a job, they think they got it going on. It's unfortunate. But one day, they will understand that it's bigger. It's time that the people stop building and building together, because they know they got us so divided up. They got black against white. Look, listen to this. Mexicans against Puerto Ricans. That's right. You didn't know that. They got Mexicans and Puerto Ricans fighting each other over nothing. When I heard that, that topped the cake to me. Both of them should be fighting together, standing together. But unfortunately, the newspaper, this system, got them fighting with each other. And here's the sad part. They're always talking about the killing in Chicago, B.I. dumped crates and crates and crates of guns into the black community. Then they called the head of the different gangs and told them where they can pick the guns up at. Oh, I know it's hard for you to believe. I know it is. It was hard for me to believe. Couldn't believe it. But they produce evidence to show exactly what was going on. I said, no way. This was me talking. I said, no way would they supply guns. But then it makes sense. They want the communities, the black communities, to be in chaos. And also, here's another thing that most people, drugs. The biggest drug dealer in the United States is the CIA and the FBI. They're the one who bringing the drugs into the country. So they can have a drug war inside the communities. Yeah, absolutely. Look it up. Go on the internet and find out who's the biggest drug dealers in the United States here. These guys that they catch, they usually work for the United States government.
So when they get tired, they arrest you. There's nothing you can do. They usually do maybe 8-9 years, but they become real, real millionaires. In some cases, billionaires. Listen, people. We have to change the way we do business. We are not, I repeat, we are not going to solve this problem until we learn to work together. There's nothing more important than for my brothers and sisters to take a stand and stand together. You got to realize it's more of us than them. That's the big thing. It's more of us than them. Because it is so, so important for that to be said. Because we walking around here thinking that everything is peaches and cream. Because we have a job, we have an automobile, and everything at the house is going pretty good. We believe that everything is okay, but it's not. We are going to have to move this baby to a whole different level. We are going to have to stand up for what's right. And until we do that, we go. Listen, I got to bring on my first guest. But the Poor People Campaign, I'm hoping that a lot of people get involved with it. I'm hoping that people understand how important it is. It would be like carrying on the work of Martin Luther King. Those of you who are out there, we have to figure out a way how we can come together and join. But here's something that a lot of people probably didn't know. When Martin Luther King died, he wasn't as popular as people thought he was. Organization has been infiltrated. The NAACP, as you know, was paid off to attack him. The Urban League, all these different people turned against Martin Luther King when he started talking about poor people. Because remember, at that time, most of the NAACP were middle-class people. The Urban League, middle-class people. You know, this is what they did. But Martin Luther King, they hated him. Read the book, The Death of a King, by Tavis Smiley. It tells a story. And this is how they got us, with money. Money is the key weapon that they use. That's one of the tools in their toolbox. And they use it well against us. But anytime that you become materialistic, anytime you become materialistic, you're heading for trouble. You're heading for trouble. You are heading for trouble. I tell you, when I think about the Poor People Campaign that's going on today, so I'm happy to be part of it. And my goal is to start putting more time into it and start talking about it just a little bit more during my speaking engagements. I try not to talk too much about it, but I think it's time that we start talking about it, get people involved in knowing how it is, because it affects everybody. It affects you, me, and everybody else. But we have to maybe start doing the things that we need to do to make things happen. Because right now, we're in a very compromising position. We are going to have to change the way we do. We can no longer sit back and do nothing. We can't do it. You can no longer sit back and do nothing. You can't do it. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it. So we are going to have to do things that maybe we never done before. But the most important thing that we have to find a way to do something, bring people in. On that note, I'm bringing my good friend, Rosie Roz. Get a chance to tell us a little bit about what's going on with her. I know there's things going on, and it's unfortunate that things like this do happen, but we're living in a time where people work together against people. They allow the corporations and all these other people to work together, and they can find two or three in every department to work with them against the people for a few extra dollars. You know, and that's why it's important that you can't be bought or sold. And we have a long history allowing these people to continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. But let me bring in Roz. Roz, are you there?
I am here, and I'm so blessed to be here by the grace of God. And I love listening to you, Reverend Pinckney, and I thank you for standing up and speaking up. Because we do all have to stand together, even though some of us, we don't agree on certain things. But we do agree on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we don't agree on people destroying the lives and health and education of our people, because it just ruins our country. And we won't have anything soon. This is our last chance.
Absolutely.
Being in America.
Rob,
yes.
Tell me a little bit about what's been happening to you this week.
This week was a nightmare. As many of you know, I was sprayed in my face with toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher by my student. The school district, Los Angeles Unified School District, did not call the paramedics, did not clean up the room by hazmat to properly clean up the room. So I have documented lung damage, fibromyalgia, I'm coughing all the time, I'm exhausted, and I'm in pain. The school district is like mob mentality. If they can kill you off, they're happy. If they can pay off lawyers, outside attorneys, I'd like to see how much they're spending on all these outside attorneys. If they can pay all these whore doctors to write these unsubstantiated reports, and they can somehow have deals with these judges, you know, I would say money in the hands of these judges or promotions or retirement or whatever they are giving them, just to destroy the lives and health of injured workers. It's a crime. So this week I went back to the doctor, and it was the second time I'd seen him. And I confirmed the appointment. He still did not have my medical records. They weren't going to see me. I waited 2 hours, even though I was told he was ready to see me. I mean, can't my lawyers, my two lady lawyers, Roxana Sultani and Sylvia Jew, couldn't they have found out if he had the medical records and we were ready to proceed? No. Could the office call? Could the defense be professional and not so criminal in their actions? No. And then the lawyers were yelling at me that I should have waited and waited until the medical records got there. They told me somebody had waited 4 hours. I called the doctor's office. They told me they didn't get them till the next day. Then I was told they got them a few hours later. Who knows what's the truth? But it's just a nightmare going through this. And I'm certain they want to settle for nothing. And they told me the 9 doctors that I'm seeing, my lawyers told me that had nothing to do with my case. That is not true. The medical report states that whatever these physical doctors, pulmonologists, rheumatologists, neurologists, toxicologists, pain management doctors, whatever I need, the dentist, that I need to get for the rest of my life. And it's a big case. If all of a sudden I settle for nothing, I'm going to be homeless on the street without anything. So that was this week with them. I mean, they try to intimidate everybody. They try to make you sick. You settle for nothing and you get nothing. I know you're out there, some of you, and this has happened to you, and you're wondering why every time you go to the doctor, you have to keep paying at the doctor, because under Medicare, Medicare investigates your claims to see if it was okay that Medicare even paid it. And Medicare is now investigating my workers' comp case to see if it was paid what they should have, or the school district should have been paying. So that's another nightmare. So does that mean for the rest of
Ron?
Does that mean what?
Ron, it looks like to me that they're gunning. What's with these two lawyers?
Right. One was a defense lawyer, this Roxana Sultani, for years, I guess. Yeah, what is with these two lawyers? Are they on my side? Oh, hell no. I'm not stupid. They're not on my side. And especially when I go to these doctors, I have to get up early. I'm exhausted, and it takes me a while to feel better. And I just felt sick. Who needs to talk to them? But let me tell you about my apartment, my expensive apartment with the rats on the balcony. Well, the maintenance man finally came to clean up, but he didn't exactly clean up because he said he had to go home, or the manager paged him, but I'm going to call the health department back because the health department came, and since they've come, they've kind of cleaned it up. He said he investigated, and the lady upstairs had a guinea pig. So he kind of said that the guinea pig is now making on my balcony or whatever. That's a rodent. This is feces on this expensive apartment, Equity Apartments. They're all over America. Their head office is in Chicago. They should just go bankrupt. If this is their policy, my manager, Myra Villanueva, lies. My friend, Robert Kovacic from Channel 4, called her, and she said she was taking care of my issues. So I said, here's the pictures to prove it. My cabinet doors are still in the hallway 35 days later. And she, just like she lied and said, I said something so they won't renew my lease. And I pay every month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right. It's just getting worse. And in California, where do I go? I'm on a fixed income. I'm a senior. I'm disabled. Where do I go and I rent? Where it's unsafe, where it's even dirtier and filthier. I mean, this, I've never seen anything like that. I feel like I'm in a third world country. We all have to get up and stand up. There's so many people sitting on their butt, on their couch, who can't vote. You sitting there has given us the high taxes, the horrible schools, the roads with all the potholes that are ruining our tires. It's disgusting what is going on. You need to vote. Your vote needs to scare the elected officials so they'll do the right thing. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something else. When I was in the doctor's office, he finally saw me for a few minutes. Last week on the radio, I was talking about Kaiser, like when you go to Kaiser and you're not even an injured worker, and how they have to keep asking for all the tests to see you. He said the same thing to me. He said, the doctor said the same thing to me that I said on the radio. So you all better get up. You better vote. You better have them clean up the rolls instead of having the dead people voting and the illegals voting, and make everything honest again, and get up and vote, because your vote needs to scare people.
Well, you know, one thing, Rob, that I think that most people need to do, they need to get out here and start protesting and say no more to these people, because anybody who's taking money now, I saw something that was really, really excited to me this week. Wednesday, they had the protest, and I got a school right down the street. And these kids may have been, I don't know, maybe 11, 12, 13, whatever they was. They was out actually protesting and knew why they was protesting. That was the big thing that got me.
I want to say something to you about the guns. I mean, a lot of the rules need to be fixed. But when countries are taken over and the people are taken over, it's the guns first. The guns go.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, but we don't need no automatic weapon. What you going to do with a machine gun in a community? You don't need a machine gun.
I'm saying that the laws need to be fixed, but when they start taking your guns and your rights go, then they're really in control of you. But you said it earlier. Those laws need to be changed. And also, somehow the superintendent immediately said it was guns. He didn't say that the school didn't act right. The school didn't act right. They knew about this kid. The gates weren't really all locked up. They didn't have more security because they knew about him. LAUSD has the fire extinguishers that are not under glass. They're not covered. Why aren't they covered after all these years? Charles Smith, a black teacher, a wonderful human being, is dead. Once you have the kids spraying them once, they sprayed them all over. They were in reach of the students. Why aren't somebody protesting about that? The schools are not safe.
Do something about the schools. And remember this. Remember this, Rosie. This started a long time ago. This didn't just start. See, the school, they planted it because they don't need people to be educated no more. They got all the automation. When it comes to jobs and stuff like that, the rich is getting richer and the poor is getting poorer. They don't care about people no more. Anytime that you find people who don't care about people, this is what you get right here.
I thoroughly agree with you about that. Educate yourself. Find somebody that knows something you don't know that can help you. Everybody out there, I don't care how poor you are. Even the slaves came up. Somebody taught them how to do something. Somebody taught them how to read to get ahead. We have to help each other. Find that person that can help you with the computers. When they've been asking for more money, they've used the automation system, so that hurt the jobs. But please go retrain yourself. Please learn other skills. This
and
is so important because they don't want you smart. Look at the kids.
No, right. And look, think about the roads how the roads are. All the roads are tearing up. And how they're tearing up the cars and stuff like that. See, the automobiles now, the roads are so bad that you hate to drive on the streets. You rather walk almost than to drive because the roads is tearing up the streets. And I was on the highway yesterday coming home from Detroit. And I tell you, them roads is – and here's the bad part. The holes in the road is getting deeper. See, the deeper it is, the better, you're destroying your car, your automobile. And now to take your car to have it fixed costs a lot of money.
You have to get a new tire, which I have, and those potholes.
New brakes.
And
now
they're fixing. Just call us. We'll fix it. If you were pregnant, you'd have a miscarriage. It's so bad on the roads.
Oh, the roads are terrible, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And it's really because the people have gotten so lazy that now they don't want – see, if you go step on somebody's toes, they're ready to fight you. But they kicking them all in the butt, and they ain't saying a mumbling word. And it's not just in Michigan. It's not just in Illinois. It's not just in New York. It's not just in California. It is all over. The people are sleeping rather than they don't understand the education system. The education system is a no-brainer. How could you not fix the education system? And it's not going to be fixed because they don't want to fix it.
No, and they like having all this money in their pockets. Like, where is all this money? Did they trade my life and Charles Smith's life for a computer, for a vacation somewhere? for money in their bank accounts? What do they trade us for? It's disgusting.
Well,
you know who I met yesterday? I met Pat Smith. Her son died in Benghazi.
Yeah,
I met her, and she was so upset, and I was, you know, a hostage in Iran, and I could cry with her. And she was so angry inside, and I had a pastor pray for her, and I gave her my T-shirt that says Hillary to prison, which, you know, this is how I feel. But we can be angry, but we can't destroy us. When we're angry, we give us heart attacks and cancer, but we have to all stand up, and we have to make the voting process. We have to not have it corrupt. Dead people are voting. Illegals are voting. Everywhere I go to look for an apartment, they want my driver's license.
Well, remember this, Rob. The people you put in office is bought out. The National Rifle Association, they so afraid of the National Rifle Association, they won't even make laws for them to change them. I mean, you're talking about the Democrats, they're afraid of the National Rifle Association. You're talking about the Republicans, they're afraid of, and this guy Trump, he's afraid of them. And instead of saying, well, look, let's figure out a way how we can work together and make things happen. You don't have to get rid of all the guns, but you need to get rid of anything that's in somebody's house that have a machine gun. You shouldn't have no machine gun in your house. You shouldn't. There's
right,
not a reason.
And also we need for mental health, too, because it was the mother of one of the shootings that had the guns in the house that gave them to her son.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Right.
It's
all over. It's just disgusting. But we need to stand up. Here in California, I want to say the name of this young man, Justin Clark. He's running in the 45th Assembly District. I've been helping him. He's 19 years old. He's the only Republican running. But it's exciting. Everybody get yourself up and start running and come up with some non-corrupt issues. Stop all these stupid taxes. Stop this, like in California, every day is another tax by the legislature. People are leaving. We're sick and tired of it. Teach the basics in school. Get up there, all of you. If he's 19 years old and know that we need a change, there's other people out there. Go live your dreams. Go stand up and make a change. And I told him he
Absolutely.
Was going into the pits of hell. If he wins, going to be with these people. They're the devil themselves. But you can make a change. Don't listen to these people. Like, I'm not listening to my lawyers. My case is going on. It's sickening. And I'm sorry what anybody has to go through out there. I pray God's peace and grace. And if you don't turn to God, you're not going to make it. You're not going to have an America. You're not going to have a home. And thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for this time that you always give me to talk about. But God is number one, and without God, we have nothing.
That is correct. And thank you so much, Rob, for being there. And let me say this to everybody. We got to change the way we're doing business. We got to change the way. Nothing would be more tragic than to turn back right now. We got to build a coalition that will stand up and just do the right thing. Because right now, they got every single person fighting with each other. Everybody fighting over something different. One person thinks he's right and this person wrong. But in reality, we all have the same issues. And that's what we should stand for. Issues, the issues, the issues. And we can't sit here and continue to do exactly nothing. It's all about the issues. And once we get that through our heads, we can win. We can't win until we understand the value and how important it is for everybody to take a stand, because it's me today and you tomorrow. And on that note, I'm going to have to say goodnight to everybody. I want to thank everybody for being on. We thank God we had a full house. We had people from all over the country listening. My goal is to have over 300,000 listeners by June 10th. And I think that we're heading in the right direction. We're heading there. People from Finland. We got people from. We even had the Russians on today, and which is so amazing. 93% of the people that was listening was from the United States. But we had people from England, from London, from Japan. We had everybody listening today. And that's one of the reasons I kind of narrow the show down to a certain situation, because I think it's important that they hear from someone here in these United States, someone who knows. On that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. I really appreciate you, but we have just ran out of time. Thank you so much.